Welcome back to another edition of The Realist Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Saturday, October 8th, 2022. Of course, my website is therealistreport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of these podcasts, as well as other radio programs I've participated in. You will also find an archive of all of my blog posts and articles, a contact page, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, and many other useful and important links. I am a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to the Barnes Review, the bi-monthly revisionist history magazine. Please do subscribe to these fine print publications if you do not already. Check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org for all the details. All right, joining me once again is Johnny Monoxide of the Paranormies for a long overdue conversation. All right, Johnny Monoxide, welcome back to the program, sir. How are you today?
I'm well, man. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me once again. It's been way too long. Mm-hmm. We did I remember the first podcast we did was like 2017, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
It was it was either right before or right after Charlottesville.
Yeah, and that was a good interview. We should have turned that into a regular thing, but I've been following your work ever since then, and I mean even before that. You're the main host of The Paranormies, which is easily one of my favorite podcast programs on the internet. You guys usually do two shows a week. You got the live stream during the week, and then like more of a podcast on the weekend. And yes. It's great. Yeah, it's really, like I said, one of my favorite podcast programs out there. The website is paranormies.com, and you're also very active on Telegram. Your Telegram link is t.me/theparanormiespresent, and I will have that linked when I post this podcast program. I'm sure most people listening are familiar with your work, but just for anybody that's not, I would highly recommend you check out this podcast program, and especially your Telegram channel. You post a lot of good information. So to get started, can you briefly just talk about the origins of the Paranormies and the direction the program has taken since you first began podcasting?
All right. Well, originally the Paranormies was just four or five guys hanging out on Skype. We're all fans of Coast to Coast AM. We're fans of Red Ice because Red Ice hadn't gone full white nationalist yet. They were still doing the Joseph P. Farrell Egyptian Sphinx stuff and like the weird, all the weird stuff Red Ice used to do. That's what we do now. And we'd get on Skype calls and just hang out and talk for hours. And it's like, wait, man, we should record this and turn it into a podcast. And so we did. And we had a guy from England. We had a guy from California, and we had a guy from, I don't even remember, Texas. And like, we just have our own experiences with paranormal stuff and stuff that we're interested in, the occult, the Illuminati, Freemasons, and then we get into ghosts. And I've always been what you would consider a conspiratard, what people would call a conspiracy theorist or a conspiracist. I questioned 9/11 when I was in the military. I got out in 04. I had been questioning things my whole life. I've always been that way. When I saw Ronald Reagan in a movie, I was a kid. I'm old, so I was a kid when Ronald Reagan was a president. I saw Ronald Reagan in Bedtime for Bonzo. It was a movie with a chimpanzee. And then I saw him on TV as the president. I was like eight, maybe seven or eight, something like that. And I asked my grandfather how the guy with the chimpanzee, why was the president doing a movie with the chimpanzee? I don't remember exactly what I asked him, but I asked him how an actor was president, basically. And my grandfather yelled for my mom in the kitchen, come get your boys asking those questions.
he's already thinking too much.
Right. And it's been like that ever since.
That's cool. Boy, that certainly resonates with me. Yeah, I've been questioning things for a very long time as well. And it certainly gets you into some trouble if you do it publicly. But the show is great. I mean, you guys have really sort of evolved over the years. And you cover a mm-hmm. wide range of topics and subjects and have had some very, very interesting guests who have a very wide and diverse set of perspectives, some of which, if I'm not mistaken, you guys probably wouldn't even endorse all the way. But at least, you're willing to hear them out and sort of
oh, yeah.
hear what
yeah.
they have to say, which I very much appreciate because there's far too few people like that operating in the alternative, you know, independent media. And one guest I want to bring up right off the bat is, I was thrilled to hear Simon Schack on your 21st, and it was the 21st anniversary of 9/11, you know, just about a month ago now. And you guys did a special live stream with Simon Schack. He has always been one of the most insightful researchers of 9/11, in my opinion. And the narrative that he presents explaining what happened that day is, I mean, in my opinion, the most persuasive one. And that is basically total media fakery, including and most especially in New York City in the Twin Towers. And this is a concept that so few people can even put, you know, like wrap their brain around and like seriously consider it. Although it is, in my view, the most powerful and persuasive one. You know, it's it's the only one. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Especially when you look at if you watch September Clues and you pay attention to what Simon says, and your brain just starts, like, these things start clicking. You're like, okay, there's no way that could have happened. Okay, there's that. Okay, there's that. That's impossible. Well, that's impossible. Well, this is also okay. Well, if that's impossible, then that's also impossible. And if these two things are impossible, then the whole entire thing is impossible.
Yeah, exactly. How
easy it would be to pull. They always talk about how hard it would be to pull something like that off. Too many people would have to know. They don't understand compartmentalization, threat recognition, and money and or the bullet.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I mean, if you think about it, basically what he's saying, what the documentary September Clues does, and it is for sure one of the most important documentaries about 9/11 that if you're interested in this topic, you at least need to sit down and watch it and probably watch it a couple times. I mean, I remember when I first encountered it, I think I probably watched it 4 or 5 times before I really, really wrapped my mind around what was going on. And all it does is it just analyzes the media coverage of 9/11, because that's how I hate to break it to everybody, but that's how we all experienced 9/11. I mean, there were very, very few people in lower Manhattan that day. Even if you were in New York, you experienced it through the television set.
The only people, the only people that, quote, saw it were the ones that were, quote, in the videos.
Right. If you look at those people, you look at the people that were presented in the media as, quote, unquote, eyewitnesses, you see that they are literally like scripted actors reading lines.
Mm-hmm. Or employees of or relative of employees of media stations and media outlets.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. That's another aspect of September Clues, that all of these people that were calling in and calling into CNN, for example, or being interviewed on Fox News or any of these other mainstream media outlets, all of them as quote unquote eyewitnesses were directly connected to the mass media, right? They were all either employees or had some sort of connection.
One of them was somebody's wife. One of them was a niece. This is that kind of stuff. Same kind of stuff they always do. And then of course you have the completely scripted interviews on the ground. They have Harley Davidson guy with the FBI pushbroom mustache. You had, everything, including, now don't forget, even the guy, the black guy, I can't remember his name, the black guy who died in Building 7. Remember that? That whole thing? I can't remember. That was a huge.
Yeah. He was like a whistleblower.
That's all fake. That's all fake. Like all of it.
Right. Yeah. I think you're probably right.
Well, we had this moment on the show and we were talking about it. I was like, and that's fake. He's like, of course.
Yeah.
Fake.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, it is, and I am 100% on board with the video footage certainly being totally fake, and there's different ideas of how it was actually done. At this point, to me, that's less important. I mean, the most important aspect of it is that literally every single aspect of what we saw on 9/11 was a pre-recorded movie. I think that's the best way of looking at it.
Right. And well, even with the guy from Building 7, again, I can't remember his name, but you have the same scenario. You have what's his name, Mr. Wilson from Family Matters, who's also the cop from Nakatomi Plaza, basically the same character.
Right. Yeah. Gosh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
You know, and they blew up. They're trying to blow up Nakatomi Plaza, and he's the cop with the guy. You know, it's all the same story. Again, that's how you can tell. Like Elon said, you can tell it's real because it looks so fake.
Yeah. Well, that was cool. I'm glad that you guys had him on there. I interviewed him. I've interviewed him a couple times, but it's been years. I think back in like 2012, 2013, I first had him on, and that caused all sorts of controversy with a lot of like white nationalist type people who were basically on board with 9/11 being, an inside job or a false flag operation, of course, carried out by the Jews. And all of that is true. I mean, there's no
Well,
doubt.
actually, John, originally the white nationalists were not, remember? Oh no, anybody who says Israel involved with 9/11 is just wrong. It was Arabs.
Right. Yeah, no, that's true. I guess it depends on which white nationalist you're referring to,
You're
but
not the,
yeah.
there's only one group. What are you talking about? There's only one group, John. There's only one group.
Yeah. Yeah,
Okay.
nowadays anyways.
Anyway, yeah, you got kicked out of there for that. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
That's
Yeah,
how
I ran into all sorts of problems with one, because I was talking about and reporting on and covering and interviewing people about the most important aspects of 9/11, which is one, the media fakery angle, and then number two, the fact that it was basically organized and benefited an international network of Jewish criminals that totally control the US government and the media. And one point that I always made is, look, the media fakery angle of understanding 9/11 only further proves that it was Jews behind it, because obviously the
100%
Jews,
does.
control the media. So
Right.
anyways, yeah, it was
That's one of the things that I always had a problem with these people that we call bug nats. The guys that the Holocaust was obviously fake, but every other conspiracy happened exactly the way the news said.
all the mass shootings are real, except if they happen in Russia, apparently.
Right. Then it's obviously a psyop. Come on, like I know a psyop when I see a psyop. Shut up. Just
Yeah.
shut all the way, all of my shut ups. Anyway, but yeah, so the media fakery, how could you not connect that to Jews? Who owns the media? They own the media. Why would it not? You know what I mean? Like, why
Oh,
would.
absolutely. Well, and it's just a pattern. I mean, a long pattern of Jews literally faking events
Yeah.
using the media, using the history books. I mean, the Holocaust is the fakest event of them all. So, I mean, it's like their same,
No,
it's their
no, no.
same MO, you know?
All of them. All of them going all the way back. I mean, it's the same thing with the moon landing. Where did
Yeah.
you see it? It was on television, live on Sunday primetime television. Shut up. Just
Yeah.
look, listen. Are you listening to yourself right now? As a grown person, you think that's true? You know what I mean? Like you and Santa. Yeah, you believe Santa Claus is still real too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually.
Well, and I think it's I think a lot of times, at least in my experience, and I'd like to hear your experience, but the concept of like media fakery and staged events, which I mean, I think if you break it down, it's best understood as the mass media portraying totally fake or scripted or staged incidents or events as if they're real, like genuine depictions of actual real world events.
Right.
So I mean but that is never like it's just lampooned as this like crazy conspiracy theory when really it's not at all. It's actually like pretty easy to demonstrate that this is exactly what they're doing. This is one of their main weapons in their arsenal to exploit us psychologically and emotionally and to perpetuate this whole entire anti-white Jewish system. It's the media.
Yeah. It's always been the media, whether it's been the print media from the Gutenberg press all the way to the 4K television. You know, it's mind control like no other with this high definition TV. But it's amazing. It's just amazing to me how these people are so easily psyoped by the media. They buy the moon landing. They buy Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook's a great example of media fakery. That school was closed. Like
Yeah, absolutely.
that school was absolutely shut down, but the news ran with this footage of a drill, and boom, now we have the 10th anniversary of this, and Alex Jones is getting sued for another $44 million, and I got to remind
That
people
whole
that.
situation is very bizarre, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. It's well, and you have all the memeable moments where Alex Jones does the thing to the, he says the. He does the. I can't remember what the lines are. The tyrant. You call this judge a tyrant. Compared to Hitler and Stalin and Mussolini or whatever. What do you always call people that? So, well, when they're being a tyrant. And then it flashes to the meme eyes with the red lasers.
Yeah, I've seen some of the videos. Or the one with yeah. with like Joe Rogan and that meme where I can't even. I'm sure people listening are familiar with it, but the whole situation is very bizarre. Why isn't? I mean, if Alex Jones is this big dissident, why isn't he using this opportunity in court to thoroughly expose the whole fake nature of Sandy Hook? I mean, which easily could be done just by asking basic, simple questions.
But he can't because the parents are there. And do you not see Robbie Parker there? Do you not see Robbie's crying right now? For real this time. It's not smiling and then crying like he did on the TV back in 2012. But he's actually crying. And then this mother, you're painting these people again, Alex. Do you not understand that? Like, it's the most horribly acted. It's like they're reenacting. Like, it's like they're using a staff of an office. Like, hey, by the way, on Friday, you guys are going to be doing an acting thing. And everybody's like, I don't want to do an acting thing. Then I know you're going to do it because it's a group thing that we're doing with the company. And so because they have to do it, they're doing it. That's how bad the acting is. Like, these are the, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, it's no, it is bad.
And people believe it. Like, people watch this shit and they believe it. They believe that this is really going on, that Alex Jones is really going to pay $44 million to Noah Posner's father.
And, you know, it kind of reminds me of, that you often hear, like, oh, well, you know, it's you can't question Sandy Hook because – oh, these poor parents and you know, these other victim family members. And it's so similar to how the psychological aspects of the Holocaust work. You know, mm-hmm. You can't question these Holocaust survivors because they've been through so much and, you know, their experience is so important and we need to listen to them and learn from them. And we can't ever question any of their absurd mm-hmm. narratives that they present, you know.
God.
It's very similar.
Don't question the bear and the eagle. And you know what's funny? You know, you can't mow the dead kids. Johnny, it's the dead kids. How dare you? You want to see pictures of the bodies? Really, Johnny? Really? Meanwhile, like, liberals go out there and protest by, like, having dead baby festivals where they pretend to abort. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. that's totally fine. But asking to see evidence of actual deaths is just too much for these people.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with you, and I know this is a topic that you guys have covered extensively over the years. And again, I mean, it's one of these things that any like major emotional, you know, like high profile event that's getting nonstop media coverage should immediately be treated as very suspect.
Absolutely.
And it, you know, like, why we just cannot take anything at face value, and that's far too often what I see people even in the independent, like, alternative media doing. And it's like, well, look, nobody's saying everything is fake. All we're saying is that what the media is reporting doesn't add up.
We do. If it's on TV, it's fake. I don't care.
That's true.
There, if you were not there personally to see it happen and it was on TV, it is fake.
It's a good rule of thumb to have, for sure.
It is. Every single, whether it be Tucker Carlson or dude looks like Peyton Manning, Rachel Maddow. Those ones, they all look – Anderson Cooper, they all have Screen Actors Guild cards. They're all actors, every single one of them. Every single one of those news anchors, they're actors. So they're up there and they're acting. They're not telling you the truth. I don't care who they are, whether there's Tucker and Matt Walsh up there talking about trannies. That pissed me off this week. Did you see that?
The video where he was confronted about the Jews behind it. Yeah.
Little brown, muddy mutt, autistic kids. DeBerg, Stein, and Witz. Why would you do that? The dissident right is so addicted to losing that they can't take a win whenever they get it at all. Like, they won't take any wins. You know, Matt Walsh is out there, the only person who's doing anything, like that Vanderbilt thing that they weren't doing. They're going to stop doing the thing they weren't doing. But that wouldn't have happened if Matt Walsh didn't go out there with his, you know, what is a woman?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly raising awareness of this issue.
He's not going to name the Jew. No, he knows he works for Ezra Levant. He knows this. He's not going to get out there and name. Tucker is not going to name the Jew. Stop it. Stop it. Also, Tucker doesn't listen to anybody on the dissident right. Stop it. Stop that, too. I hate that. Oh, Tucker listens to us. Somebody in Tucker's writing crew definitely listens to this show. No, they don't. Stop it.
What'd you make of his interview with Kanye West?
I like that Kanye is kind of doing that. However, I don't believe that he's completely serious. I mean, I think he knows the memes. Of course he knows who's behind the music industry. Nobody that's in it doesn't know. But again, he's been married to Kim Kardashian for so long. I mean, like, he's married to, like, one of the the biggest Baphomet trannies there is. So obviously part of this, again, part of the show.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, just the fact that he's raising awareness of these issues, whether it's Jared Kushner or White Lives Matter or any of these other things. That to me is good, but yeah, I think it probably is going to ultimately be sort of corralled and controlled. And you see that immediately with Tucker Carlson stepping in.
It's raising – what it's doing is you have these – oh, another based black. Yes, yes. What America needs to do is worship blacks a little bit more.
As if
right now we can get more based, like, dude, you know how many times on a job site, like, these Trump supporters are like, all right, dude, if Trump ran with Candace Owens, bro, it would be all over, bro. Like, the based black, the based female black, dude, we need our own based female black. That's conservative is like. We need a more based version of whatever the left is doing, right? So we have trannies on the left. Well, we have Lady MAGA. We have hotter trannies, right?
This whole tranny thing is very, oh my gosh, talk about like an evil, dark,
10 years
just
ago,
bizarre situation, like phenomenon.
That wasn't a word. That word wasn't a word 10 years ago. You know? Not that long ago.
Yeah, and now it's like everywhere. And you know what it was? I remember specifically when Bruce Jenner came out as Caitlyn Jenner. Mm-hmm. That's really when this whole agenda like just took off. And, was that? Right. That was what, like 2012? Yeah, I was going to say it was like 2012 or 2013, maybe?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sandy Hook. They're like, okay, now that America's traumatized with more dead kids, with a really big dead kids thing, because Sandy Hook was like the first real. Columbine didn't. It was high school kids. Nobody really cares about high school kids, you know? It's like, oh, it sucks. He was 16, though. He had a chance. But, like, no, 7-year-olds? Whoosh. No, man, you can't shoot the 7-year-olds.
That Sandy Hook, man, that really, really was a very powerful psychological operation that just.
I lost IRL friends that I've known since childhood over that.
I believe you.
One of my best friends from high school, childhood, I guess. One of my best friends from high school, his sister, who I've known since she was 10. My husband was at the scene. Okay, cool. He was a state trooper there. So cool. He was at the scene. So. Get your husband on here and I want to ask him questions, you know, like, and I was like disowned for questioning the Sandy. Well, my husband was there. Okay, fine. There were plenty of cops there. Guarantee you none of them knew what was going on.
Yeah. You know, speaking of that, I got a question. Have any friends from other high school, maybe, or college, or like the military, have any of your like close personal friends stuck by you and like actually support what you're doing? And sorry if that's a little too personal. I'm just curious because I know very few in my personal life that have you know attempted to even hear me out with any of this stuff. They just basically have disowned me over the years.
Yeah, mostly disowning. I have a few family members that have come around. They're like, oh, okay, a little bit crude with the language there, but we see what's going on now. You know.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. My family, on the other hand, has been pretty cool about it. They're not like, you know, they haven't been like super butthurt and offended like some people who you thought were like your lifelong friends have been, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm also known amongst my circle of friends for like falling off the face of the earth for a while.
Mm, right. So, after Charlottesville?
No, just in general, like my high school friends, I moved away. And came back like 5 years later and like, you know, then lived there for a while and then moved away again and came back, you know, and a lot of people don't move away, you know? So,
yeah. Interesting. Anyways. So this whole tranny thing, you guys had a guy named, I think, is it Mr. E? I think I guess he was on YouTube, but of course, probably not on YouTube anymore.
He's on BitChute.
I was going to say, I know I've seen, I subscribed to his BitChute channel. And this is, at least as far as I know, and you can correct me, I mean, this guy is one of the top researchers into this whole tranny agenda.
Yep, he is, yeah. There was, when he was still on YouTube, there was him and a guy that his channel was called The Trans Files. It's still there. And Mr. E's cool, and I would like to hang out with that guy and have a beer with him. He seems really cool to be able to hang out with. He plays guitar and everything, so we get along.
So what's like the overall like story? Like, I mean, because, you know, you get it. It's like, oh, well, is everybody a trainee? I mean, maybe not everybody's a trainee, but like, who do you think are the like the top most like the most surprising trannies that you could think of off the top of your head? Like what celebrities or political
All the
figures?
first ladies.
Yeah,
All
that's
the first ladies. All of them.
including Melania.
Absolutely. Melania is like one of the more masculine ones. Are you kidding me? That jaw, you could like set corners with that square jaw.
Wow.
Oh, Donald Trump loves trannies so much he married three of them and bought the Miss Universe pageant. Like,
Oh my gosh. It is crazy. I don't doubt you. I don't know for sure, but
I know, and
I
the
wouldn't be
problem is that's
surprised.
the thing is to understand how deep it really goes. I mean, just to scratch the surface, like in Hollywood or in theater in general, like women weren't allowed to be participants in theater in antiquity up until like the quote 1800s. So what makes you think they started, letting women? That's just always been men. It's always been men in theater, and they still do it like at openly, like at the Bohemian Grove. It's all guys that go there. No women go there, but they put on productions. And there are female parts in some of the plays that they put on. They're played by men, and they dress like women. They always have. Well, this has been a thing for forever, going back to antiquity, going back to Babylon, before Babylon. Like this goes way back. And this religion of theirs, this androgynous one gender trans. It's not just transgender, because the thing is the ones that you see that we call trannies, like the Megan Foxes and stuff like that. Megan Fox probably hasn't had its dick cut off. You know what I mean? Megan Fox is probably just a castrati, where they castrate a boy like they used to do in the Roman Catholic Church. They would have they
So
find a boy.
Megan Fox, the actress, dark hair. I'm looking at
Yes,
photos over.
Megan
Okay.
Fox, the actress, yes, Machine Gun Kelly's wife or whatever. Yeah, there was called an EGI, elite gender inversion couple. Like he's the thing it deals. He's FTM and she's MTF. And she has like, there's interviews with her where like they joke around about how do you stay in such good shape? She's like, I'm a man, I'm a tranny, like jokingly. And the person from MTV who's interviewing her laughs, and everybody laughs along with her because it's just a joke, right?
So
Like,
is it Austin Green? That's her husband?
no, her husband is Machine Gun Kelly, the rapper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they do things like weird things like drink each other's blood and, do all kinds of other weird satanic stuff openly. They talk about this stuff openly now. And that's the cool thing. Now the cool thing is to be a Satanist trainee.
Jeez, yeah, it is
That's the,
very
like,
bizarre.
so the ones in Hollywood that aren't out are the opposite gender. And that's just the way they do it, because everything is an inversion. Even your vision, everything you see is inverted by your eyes and then re-inverted by your brain so you can see it right side up. So like everything, you gotta remember it, everything is inverted. And that's what their whole religion is based around, inversion.
Well, yeah, it seems to be based around totally like destroying and opposing God's natural creation. God created male and female, specifically, and this whole tranny, like dark, sinister agenda is about totally destroying that, just like homosexuality or mass migration and some of these other agendas. It's all basically a an affront to the natural creation of the world that God created, the species that God created. That's what it's all about. At
Well,
least in my opinion, I don't know.
and this goes back. Well, it is. I mean, this goes back to the Kabbalah, because all this stuff is Kabbalistic, including like the Big Bang and science, TM. But all of this goes back, and you have, even if you take the Bible, they say, God took Eve out of Adam, right? Took his rib and made Eve. So Adam is imperfect. Man is imperfect. So in order to make man perfect again, you have to combine the male and the female. So that's why you have everything they have. Baphomet has both. All of their stuff is either androgynous or has both, like in their religious, like the satanic religions and Luciferian religions. So there's that.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and it goes and Mr. E talks about that, going way back into the Whore of Babylon, and this goes again. This goes back to Babylon. So this is not a new thing. We've been ruled by eunuchs and trannies for millennia. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right, honestly.
I know. Well, I mean, they say, they say that they call it the monoxide effect.
Yeah.
given a long enough period of time, Johnny will be proven right.
Right, exactly. No, I think you're probably right. I want to move on. I want to touch on another subject that you guys have been exploring. I don't even know how long, maybe the past year or two. And that's this idea of Tartaria, which is fascinating to me. I only recently kind of came across it within the past year. And there's some really good Telegram channels. There's a channel that I follow called Tartaria. What is it? Tartaria in History Channel. It's t.me/ Tartaria History Channel. And there's a ton of other ones.
There is a ton. I have a, you can do folders. I have a folder that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. About 20 Tartarian channels, or Timeline Deception, or Old World, or Antiquitech Research Archives, or Vault of Secrets, or Aryan Archaeology, or this is all Hidden History, Hidden Mystery, Esoteric Vault. So these are all this stuff that's coming up, and we're discovering that there's a lot of stuff that we can't explain that can't be explained by the little bronze plaque that they hung there. You go to wherever, the Grand Canyon, and you pull up there and you look at the lookout spot. There's a little brass plaque, and it tells you, that this was created by a river over 6 billion years, right? That's not how that was created. But, that's a different story. But, you go to, say, the Ames Monument, and there's a pyramid in the middle of Wyoming. Well, why? It's a pyramid, and it's in the middle of nowhere. Well, it's supposedly there to honor the Ames brothers, who were the two brothers who owned the company that finished the Transcontinental Railroad, and it was built in memorial of them, and to also distract the town, the local townspeople, from the fact that the company had embezzled a whole shitload of money. That story doesn't make any sense for why it's a fucking pyramid in the middle of Wyoming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why are there Roman ruins in the swamp in Mississippi?
This is, to me, one of the most interesting aspects of Tartaria. And so, I guess, kind of generally speaking, how would you describe, the concept? I mean, I basically kind of understand it as hidden aspects of history and ancient technology and ancient architecture. And Tartaria may have been some sort of civilization that existed in history that was extremely advanced and had basically more or less explored and settled all across the world and built all the major monuments and buildings that are still standing today.
A lot of them are still standing.
Is that more or less your understanding of just the concept in general?
That's one concept. There's several. There's that there was, and if you look at just recently, Putin released basically some CIA stuff, but it was KGB files, I guess, on Tartaria or Tartary or whatever it was. It might have been Tartaria, actually, that there was a country where Russia is now that would be Tartary or Tartaria, right? There's that theory. But then there's also the theory that there was some sort of, earth-wide network of either a one empire or a bunch of small empires that were all linked together by a common religion or a common architectural style, because you see these buildings in the Philippines, right? Okay, so the United States took over the Philippines from Spain in 1855, I think, or 1859, one of those years. And 4 years later, there is a marble and granite Supreme Court building that will rival anything in Washington, D.C. That doesn't make any sense. And then if you go to Australia, you go to Sydney? I don't remember what town, what city it is. Some dingo can correct me. But there's one city that has all these ridiculous buildings and all this telegraph wire. None of this stuff was supposed to exist at the time, the telegraph lines and all that stuff. But it was there, and it was built by a small prison colony. San Francisco, while Yosemite Sam and his buddies, fought their way across what would be the United States, killing buffalo and fighting Indians and trying not to eat each other on their way out to California. While they were panning for gold, they also happened to be amazing stonemasons who created everything in San Francisco. That's just amazing Romanesque or Gothic architecture, right?
And, yeah, yeah. And then, and then you look at like some of these state capitol buildings.
Oh, all the state capitol buildings. None of them make any sense. Like the Oklahoma State, I think it's Oklahoma. Oklahoma State Capitol building. It's got like a 3-story fucking bell tower on it. And it's like the state was founded by like 5 cowboy families or something. It's like, doesn't, why would these cowboys, these cattle ranchers build this huge Roman looking building? This thing that looks like it belongs in Washington, D.C. You know, none of it makes any sense. The land grabs that they did, or the land rush, excuse me, where they would set up, like they would, you know, these people would like get at a starting line, they'd ring the bell, and then everybody would claim a plot. Well, if you look at these maps of these land rushes, like there were streets and houses and churches, and it's like, okay, this is supposed to be an undeveloped section of like Kansas. You know, where did all these buildings come from? And if you drive around the South, you'll see a lot of these buildings that are made out of brick and that have windows that seem to be underground or doors that seem to be underground. Chattanooga has an entire level of the city that's completely underground. Well, we had to build a city on top of the old one because the old one was sinking. What? That doesn't make any sense. Seattle's the same way. There's an entire city underneath Seattle. Edinburgh, Scotland has an entire city underneath there. So like there was some sort of a mud flood or some sort of a liquefaction, some sort of an event where the ground raised up or the stuff sank into the ground or mud came from the sky or something. Or mud sometimes just comes up from the dirt. I see the videos from Indonesia and those places in the islands all the time where like the mud just comes out of the mountain and takes away the village. You know, that happens all
Yeah, that's another like theme of this whole Tartaria concept is the idea of mud floods or like maybe even kind of more generally like historical resets
like a cataclysm
like a cataclysmic event
like something picked up the Etch-a-Sketch and just shook it and started over, but some of the Etch-a-Sketch wasn't erased and that's why we have some of these things. That's one of the other
there's like remnants of it. Yeah,
and that's where you can get into like simulation theory, where some of this stuff is, since we're in a simulation, none of this stuff is actually real. So sometimes this stuff just manifests in and out of alternate either realities or history, you know, erased histories. So that's why, and maybe the simulation is falling apart and that's why these things are popping up now, because a lot of these places where we quote find these quote discoveries have been thoroughly mapped out and explored by a lot of European, you know, explorers. So you would have think they would have written about this stuff back when they explored the place. You know what I mean? Like
Lewis. Oh, sorry. I was actually muted.
Do you understand what I'm saying, though? Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
There's a lot of documentation of exploration of some of these places where these amazing architectural things are, but they've never been written about until recently. So the one of the theories is that the simulation is breaking down and these things are like we're having like data reposting or something.
Yeah, you know what? Definitely, like, the more that I look into Tartaria, the more questions I have, and, like, the more things, like, just certainly do not add up historically.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of talking about this before I think we even started recording, how there's a lot of, like, disinformation and, like, people involved in, like, the whole Tartaria thing that just are clearly steering you in the wrong direction to cover up certain things.
Absolutely. Just like with 9/11, you had I was talking to Simon and I can't remember the guy's name. He knows who he is. He's the drug addict guy that used to run around talking about no planes.
Nico Hopp.
Nico Hopp. Yes.
Yeah, I remember him.
Nico Hopp, the guy. And he would go around and scream about no planes. Well, he automatically poisons the well of the no planes theories. Right. So with Tartaria, you have like this guy, Iwaranon, who came out with like 16 hours of beautifully done footage of all of these cathedrals and the theory of the cathodral, that they're actually cathodes and the cathedrals are actually buildings that were using water and cymatics and frequencies as healing stations, and they're not actually churches, and all the different crosses and the quote religious symbols that we see are actually electrical things, not actually religious symbols. And like, after a reset, they were reassigned to religions. So this guy turns out he stole a bunch of his content from a bunch of other people, which is fine because none of this content is any quote anybody's really. It's just research, right? Anybody can do the research and find the stuff and use it. But then he's turned into like he's starting to do DCMA stuff on people that are reposting his stuff. I don't know. It turns out he's probably some sort of gatekeeper somehow, right? So you now you have to question, well, what part of his stuff was fake? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you look at the stuff with like the cities with nobody in them in the mud streets, right? You have to pick the 13 or 14 panel shot, the panoramic shot of San Francisco where it's like noon or 10 o'clock in the morning. There's literally nobody to be seen in the entire city, and there's nothing but mud in the streets. Same thing with there's one of St. Petersburg, Russia. There's one of Copenhagen. There's one, all these cities, right? Who's putting all these cities, these empty cities with nobody in them? You know, like, are those real pictures? Well, now with all this, we're breaking out all these AI art things that are making all this cool AI art that everybody's showing on Facebook and Telegram and everything now. Well, who's to say that the stuff that we've been seeing for Tartaria isn't fake? You know what I mean? Or what is fake and what is real and what are they mixing in there?
Yeah, no, they definitely don't make it easy to figure any of this stuff out, obviously.
Oh, no. Because, again, they want to control the official narrative and they want to control the alternative narrative as well. And which is why, like, the paranormies are completely censored everywhere because every time. And we're actually censored. Alex Jones can go around and say, I'm the most censored man on the internet. Yeah, but you can buy his fucking super male vitality and keep, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we got to go. We got to go through 900 hoops and have you guys send us, you know, like, you know, a stripe through somebody else's name and somebody else's bank just to get you to buy one of our T-shirts. You know,
yeah. Speaking of that, I've been meaning to actually buy a shirt. Is Dissident Apparel, that website, is that down right now? It is.
They're doing some sort. I don't know when he's coming back up. It was supposed to be just for the weekend last weekend, but it ended up being for the entire week. So I don't know, but when it comes back up, there's supposed to be a lot better stuff going on. I don't know if they're upgrading the website, but it wasn't that it was clunky. He's just upgrading and making it nicer, I believe.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be back, and we have what, like 6 different shirts you can buy now and 6 different designs. We have more coming, and we have also a bunch of different merch designs that we want to do. We're going to put a store on the site. Have you seen the new website? By the way.
Yeah, I'm actually on it right now, paranormies.com.
Pretty slick, huh?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, I love it. I think it's great.
We have Ryan, friend of the family, Reinhardt's brother, does a lot of good stuff with computers, and he made a very, very slick website for us, and it's like
No, yeah, it looks good. And I know you guys got the RSS feed working again. Mm-hmm. I subscribe to you guys on RSS, so I get all the podcasts downloaded.
Do that, yeah.
Right, well, to my phone, yeah.
We're working. People complain, well, you guys don't have a download button. We don't have server space to store all of our stuff. So it's on the RSS. If you have an RSS, a decent RSS player, you should be able to download it to your RSS player.
Yeah, no, I don't have any problems.
I'm saying you.
I get you.
I hear this all the time. We had to make, like, we had a pinned post on our Telegram for like months telling people how to do the RSS. Because people are like, I can't listen to this show anymore. Can you please post it on Telegram? I'm like, no. Go to our website. We want you to go to our website. That's where we want you to go. That's why we have the website. Go look at it. It's cool.
It is really cool. Yeah, I'm on it right now. And I've had it linked on my like recommended sites on my website for a long time. Yeah. And so the live stream, that's on Pilled. Is it Pilled.net? Is that the name of the website?
Net. Yes. Pilled.net is a group of guys that were – do you remember Neon Revolt? He was a big Q guy back in the day. He had a huge Q following, like in the millions. And when he realized Q was just Operation Trust and it was like a big op, he like got deflated and kind of like disappeared, right? And he's kind of come back. But a bunch of his guys that were like, well, we still want to tell the truth and we don't want to be censored. So they bought a whole bunch of servers and they built their own. They're like, well, build your own live streams. So they did.
And that's Pilled.net. Yeah, it seems like seems pretty solid. Yeah, I haven't.
They don't care. They don't care if you're a libertarian furry or you're a Nazi furry. You know.
So it's like actually dedicated to free speech.
Right. Yeah. Dedicated to free speech. Yeah, exactly. Because there are Nazi furries too, by the way. It's unfortunate. But yeah, they're really cool. They love our show. We also do DLive and we do Odyssey, and we do that live on Tuesday nights, and then we release it Wednesday as a podcast. With the Necronormicon attached. Because if you listen to the live stream, you don't get the Necronormicon. So this is how you get people to listen to extra stuff.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah, and again, I would encourage everybody to, you know, to check it out and tune in, you know, when they can. Like I said, I subscribe on the RSS feed, so I just get everything downloaded. Yep. I got to ask you another question about Tartaria. I came across a channel a while back called Exploring Tartaria on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that rings a bell or if you've seen any of those videos.
All of them. Yeah.
Okay, I found these videos to be incredibly persuasive. And some of them deal with the timeline deception idea, where basically like an extra 1,000 years has been artificially inserted into history. And this channel in particular, I think it's a woman that's behind it. She is into the idea of preterism,
yes.
which posits that all of the major prophecies in the Bible have actually already been fulfilled. And we're in fact living on the other side of Christ's 1,000-year millennial reign, which is sort of mind-blowing, but the more I look into it, it actually does make a lot of sense.
It does to a lot of people, and boy, Reinhardt would be reading right now. Reinhardt is anti-preterism.
Okay. Well, and I'm not like totally tied to it. I just never really heard it put together this way.
I'm semi-pro-preterist. I can see it. It makes sense, the saints being who built all this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like all the ancient architecture and mm-hmm. yeah, you got to sit. If anybody listening,
all I gotta say is St. Peter's Basilica. Like, dude, just go look at St. Peter's Basilica or the cathedral in Milan with the just go. There's no way that again, it's the horse and buggy people. Which
yeah, exactly.
Speaking of being listened to, we actually. I listened to the Eddie Bravo, Joe Rogan from a couple weeks ago, and Eddie Bravo said horse and buggy people, and horse and buggy people is a Paranormies copyrighted line. So Eddie Bravo definitely listens to the Paranormies. But yeah, none of that stuff. Like in the preterist thing, like the whole, like we are now living in the little season when Satan was loosed from the pit, and it makes sense. I mean, look at the earth. Have you seen earth? Like I always, have you seen people? Like there are some demonic shit. There is some very demonic, satanic, evil stuff going around, disguised as good things. Like every movie, the quote bad guy is a good guy. You know, that's the new thing, and it hasn't been a new thing for a while. It's been a new thing for a while, but like, you know, that's the newest, coolest thing is to make the bad guys the good guy. We're completely surrounded by evil.
Yes. Everything has been inverted. The Jews have been totally unleashed. Mm-hmm. And have been allowed to take over all Western society, all Western governments,
yeah.
You know, Western civilization in general, and it all seemed to happen really like in the late 1800s, and you know, obviously in the early 1900s. So I don't know. I do have a lot of questions about it, but I do find it pretty persuasive, frankly. Who really knows? But I, you know, this video series that you can watch at Exploring Tartaria is fascinating, to say the least, and it makes a very good case. What do you think about the timeline deception? Like, does that make sense to you?
Well, we just had Jason Brashears on from the Archaics channel, and he's like, Fomenko got it right and he got it wrong. There's no way they could have added he says there's no way they could have added 1,000 years. And I say, oh, really? I mean, yes, they could, but they probably didn't. There is something to it. No, there is definitely something to the timeline deception. It doesn't make any sense. but the preterist theory of why the timeline is all screwed up, it makes sense that Satan is trying to cover up all that stuff. You know, if in fact all of that is true, then it makes a lot of sense. It does make a lot of sense. But to certain kinds of Christians, I guess it's like 1611 King James Version only Christians, I guess. That is just poppycock and silly talk, and how dare you? So
yeah, I'd like to hear what Reinhardt would have to say about this, actually, because he seems to know quite a bit about this topic.
He does. Well, he's the religion guy on the show.
So. Yeah. So, anyways, it is fascinating, and again, this is all kind of tied into this broader Tartaria, you know, movement, so to speak. And, you know, you'll find all sorts of different ideas and perspectives. Like the whole World's Fair research is – that is absolutely mind-blowing looking at some of that stuff. Yeah.
And then, and of course, you know, and you get the you're shitting on white achievement, Johnny. You're shitting on white achievement. White people couldn't do that. No, of course not. White people couldn't do that. White people are just retards. Oh, you just see white people now. They've been dumbed down by the Jews since if it was pre-1945, man, pre-1945, white people could do anything, right? Now all of a sudden we can't do anything. No, it's absolutely not true. That stuff was built by somebody else.
Yeah.
There's no way. I don't care. These guys, they had much more leisure time. They were more into creating beautiful things. I don't believe that. I believe that everything has been these shitty cities for a lot longer than we think. You know, people have been crammed into these cities, and these cities have been a thing. If you believe Bible narratives, there were large cities back then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So just stop. Yes, this is what happened. Like there was, I don't know. Do the Arc de Triomphe in Paris and looking down on that from above, and the way that the streets are laid out in perfect alignment with everything, and the garden, Paris, just Paris, okay. That was done without any sort of aerial layout, you know, no hot air balloons, no lasers, no nothing. Just using a stick and a shadow and a string.
See, that's the sort of thing that like it just does the mainstream explanation just does not add up.
Exactly.
There's something more going on for sure.
We always say that the mainstream narrative is way more schizo than the real narrative. Like with 9/11, it makes more sense that they just faked it all on TV. Then 19 Saudis hijacked 3 airplanes and defeated the greatest error interception system in the entire universe. Not just once, not just twice, but 3 times that day. And like, no, you have to like push the I believe button until it's broken. You know, the same thing with Sandy Hook. It was faked on television. Makes more sense than a 110-pound nerd came in with 200 pounds of gear and shot all these kids with headshots when he never shot a gun before. You know what I mean? None of that stuff makes any sense.
Yep, exactly. Same thing. The quote unquote the quote unquote conspiracy explanation or perspective is much more persuasive and much more legitimate and actually possible than what you know what mm-hmm. the government and the media would have us believe.
Way more plausible, and I think that's done purposely. And they've been making it more convoluted and more unbelievable to make people believe more unbelievable shit. It's part of the humiliation ritual and part of the
fact that
they don't give a shit about what you think. Yes, they think you're that stupid. They think you're stupid. They think you're dumber than that. They think you are actually more stupid than that.
Yeah, I know. That's. I think that's actually a really important aspect of all this is these people that control the media and control the government. I mean, they will get up there and tell you the most insulting, absurd story and just expect you to believe it, you know? And sadly, far too many of us just blindly accept what they say.
Right.
And so you're right. I think it is actually part of the PSYOP is, you know, it's designed to literally like degrade you and insult you.
No clothes.
Yeah.
There's new clothes. It's you are forced. You know that nigga's naked. You know what I mean? But you have to go there and be like, oh my God, Your Majesty, what a beautiful outfit. You know, and you have to say that. It's like saying Caitlyn. It was like this going back to Bruce Jenner. Remember the South Park episode, Stunning and Brave?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
They made you say she was stunning and brave. She's beautiful. No, she's fucking not. You know, they're making you do these things that you don't want to do. That's not beautiful. That's not attractive. That's not a thing of beauty. Those things are disgusting. And they're like, Caitlyn Jenner looks like she's made out of Play-Doh now or Silly Putty. You know, I don't feel bad because that thing's not a human. It's like it's a sack full of sand that's been animated by a wizard somewhere. But
yeah,
they're flesh husks. They're not people. Those aren't people.
All right. I got to get your take on one other big controversial topic, and that is the flat earth idea. This is something that I know you guys didn't start out as flat earthers, but now it's a topic that you post about regularly on Telegram, and you guys talk about it on the show, and I guess even like more broadly, like just the concept of outer space being a total deception, you know, basically being fake and gay, as I think you'd like to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your take on like flat Earth and like the nature of the realm that we occupy?
we don't know and we won't know. But the closest thing that we can know is that we can see too far, and the Earth is not curving at 8 inches per mile squared. And that can be demonstrably seen, you know, using, you know, using a P1000, you know, camera or, P900, P1000 camera. I've seen it done 1,000 times. Like, the ship's going over the horizon. Like, we started off way a long time ago, making fun of flat earthers because of Sinead from Renegade. And, you know, that, excuse me one second.
Turned out Sinead was right, at least about a lot of this stuff. Sinead is she's a very talented individual, very, yes, very intelligent. I know she's had all sorts of conflicts with people over the years, including myself to a certain extent, but I think she's incredibly intelligent and talented. Mm-hmm. It's just too bad. Yeah.
What it was we were on TRS and TRS was like, oh, they're Renegade. Don't talk to them anymore. So we didn't talk to Renegade anymore. And it was like, make fun of Sinead. They did the song where they made fun of Flat Earth. And then, so we made fun of Flat Earth, even though at the time I was like, well, the moon landing is fake. And I was getting shit for saying that the moon landing was fake. You know, in our first season, if you go back and listen, there's one episode where I mentioned the moon and the moon landing being fake, and I'm getting like shushed by one of the other guys.
Oh, and no kidding. That to me is so obvious. Yeah, like the Apollo missions, like all of it is just so incredibly and badly staged and faked.
Yeah, there's no way, you know, I mean, and of course you have Joe Rogan who went from, there's no way we went to the moon, to now he's, there's no way we didn't go to the moon. A complete flip-flop.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. This old Joe Rogan is no way we went to the moon, and new Joe Rogan is shut the fuck up, Eddie Bravo.
Huh, interesting. Sorry. I wouldn't surprise me.
We used to make fun of Sinead, and then, I've always kind of in the back of my head was like, well, if the moon landing was fake, then space has to be kind of fake too, and we got into that. Well, if space is fake, well, let's look into this some more. And so we did, and I did, and doing the experiments with the P1000 myself, well, the curvature of the Earth is incorrect. If that's incorrect, then the whole thing is incorrect. And either we are on something that's much, much larger than what they say it is, or it's pretty damn flat.
Yeah, I tend to agree with the flat Earth idea, although, I mean, I'm open to different ideas, but it certainly makes much more sense than the round ball, like spinning around. That absolutely is absurd. And I mean, this is basic, but I mean, I've flown a lot in my life. And I mean, being in an airplane and just looking out the window, I mean, come on. There's no way in hell this is a round Earth. Give me a break.
No, there's no way. And of course, the whole pilot's not compensating for the curvature at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, there's that. Like, well, that's what a gyroscope. Okay, but a gyroscope. Okay, so the gyroscope on the plane proves that it's flat. The gyroscope proves it's flat. They keep the gyroscope level. You know.
What do you think are the best sources, you know, like proving flat Earth, like any good like channels or books
Eric
or anything?
Dupet. I still like
Eric Dupet, yeah. Is he still able to have a YouTube channel?
I don't know if he has a YouTube channel anymore. He probably does. I think he probably does. He's supposedly a Jesuit, but who knows? He's gatekeeping somewhere.
I'm just going to see if I can find him on YouTube. Yeah, he is still on YouTube.
How many subscribers? A lot.
166,000.
Right. So clearly he's not that big of a... And here's the thing. It's like, okay, so you can talk about Flat Earth on YouTube, but you supposedly can't talk about Flat Earth on YouTube. Yes, you can. I mean, he's doing it.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's still wrong. What we're doing, it's still incorrect. There is something else. It's like, you know what I mean? Like the little dome and the ice wall and that's it. No, I think I personally subscribe to the much larger flat realm that we are a part of. We have our own little dome, you know, and you can get out of it and go to the extra territories, which is where the extraterrestrials come from.
Okay, you know? Interesting. Yeah.
The supposed map at the UN or the EU or what? I think it's the UN.
I think it's the UN, yeah.
That has the extra islands on the outside of the Mercator projection.
Wow. Yeah, see, they put it right there in plain sight and then right. Call you a conspiracy theorist for noticing.
Exactly. So, and that's the other thing is how much that stuff is being made up by the internet now. So.
Yeah, well, very, very interesting topic again. In all of these, I mean, I try to have an open mind and listen to different perspectives and ideas about all of these subjects. I think it's very interesting. And I mean, it's obviously crystal clear at this point that we've not only been lied to about some of the most monumental and, you know, like paradigm shifting events in recent history, like World War I or World War II or 9/11, but that same concept applies throughout all of history, throughout what we think we know about science and medicine and banking. I mean, everything, you know what I mean?
From the most ridiculous, you know, huge stories about the biggest events to the most mundane daily events, you know, they lie about it all.
Well, to kind of wrap up here, I'm curious, what do you think are like the biggest, like most pressing issues like that you would explain to like an average person? I mean, to me, obviously, like the whole race realism concept and this ongoing white genocide program that is rapidly advancing in pretty much every single formerly white Christian nation. And then, of course, like the reality of Jewish supremacy and control over all of society and the fact that they are the organized group actually pursuing these policies. Mm-hmm. I mean, those really are like the most important issues. All these other topics that we can get into all tie into that. But
they all do. All of them do. Yeah. They'll tie back into it. Yeah. It's all to get you away from what you're supposed to be. You know, it's a distraction. Everything's a distraction. But no, telling people, the race realism thing, getting people to just eat better, like that kind of stuff, like getting people off of the shit food. I try to help people more like getting off the system, you know, grow your own food if you can, kind of a thing. I don't know, I've kind of gotten tired of the whole like, you know, wake up,
like I'm totally there too. It's What we need like real political leaders, like people that are actually going to stand up and tell the truth about these things. You're not going to wake up everybody. They're going to wake up once there's somebody explaining clearly what's going on that is viewed with some sort of legitimacy.
Sure. And you can't do that in the system because the system is created for these people to do what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I tend to agree with you. And I think, absolutely. Like health in general is so important, especially with this fake pandemic, which we didn't even really get into.
Oh, no. That's a given. I mean, it's a fake pandemic and don't get the shot. The end.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
I cannot believe. And look, all it took, they're rolling back. You saw that they're like rolling back all these quote unquote mandates, which weren't even legal to begin with.
Right.
And, you know, sort of quietly walking back some of these things. Although I certainly don't think that COVID is going away or anything like that. I mean, a lot of these policies are going to be with us
and the biggest
going forward.
Internet. The biggest brains on the right told me COVID was over. Okay. They wear turtlenecks and wife beaters. So they're smart.
The whole vaccine thing was just so evil though.
It is.
And all it took was just to say no.
The fact that people on the right were like, well, if it came down to it, I'd find the one if I had to, I'd find the one that had the least amount of side effects and get that one. Like, why would you justify it or quantify a reason for getting it at all?
Like, yeah, it
was,
exactly.
This is the most anti-white. This thing was targeted towards whites harder than anybody, especially white women. White women are the most affected by this. If you look at the vaccine injury charts, I mean, it's ridiculous how this affects white women more than anybody else. So this is all part of the white genocide thing. And if anybody who claims to be pro-white and missed the biggest psyop since 9/11, you don't deserve to be called pro-white. I'm sorry. Like,
exactly. Yep.
Dude, this was the most anti-white thing in modern history. I mean, literally, they went after white people with this, you know, white working class people, that's who get the vaccine, mostly white people. If you look at the demographics of who got the shot, it was mostly white women. Who's gotten the third one? Who's gotten the fourth booster?
Yep.
It's white women.
I agree. And it's it is so depressing to think about. I actually just came across a website a couple weeks ago called realnotrare.com. And there were Telegram channels, I remember, like COVID vaccine victims, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. And this website, I mean, it's just all it is just basic interviews with people all over the country who have just been absolutely devastated and majorly affected from the vaccine. And it's just outrageous that this is like the, as you said, this was for sure the biggest psyop on the whole world, particularly targeting white countries and white people in general. And you know, oh my God, I can't even put into words like how evil this whole thing is. And it's so sad to me. And all it took was just for people to stand up and say, no, I'm not a slave.
Yeah.
I have control over my body. I'm not injecting myself with this. I mean, who even knows what the hell is in these shots? I mean, they're clearly designed to manipulate your genetics, the way God built your body. I mean,
right.
It's so evil.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, but there are people on the internet who have had some medical training who are clearly the Surgeon General of the alt-right who know better than everybody and are going to tell everybody how stupid you are. I mean, don't get it, obviously. But, like, you know, even if you were to get it, this wouldn't be that bad because of this.
Oh, God. I don't really pay much attention to the people saying stuff like that anymore.
It's just like, I just don't understand how there are certain people that are out there that have a substantial number of people that follow them. And it's like, how? Like, at this point, yeah. After being, like, getting things wrong, being lied to, being just incorrect and not correcting the record. That's one thing I will say that I'm very proud of at the Panorama is whenever we're incorrect about something, we always come back and are like, you know what? Last week we said so-and-so was this and it's not that.
Right. Well, that's a sign of honesty and integrity. And I respect you guys for that. I mean, yeah, you guys are pretty straightforward and you'll admit when you're wrong. And there's not enough people like that. You know, and operating in the alternative media.
Not wrong enough to where I have to do that very often. So,
right. Well, Johnny, I'm gonna have to go ahead and wrap up, man. It's been a great chat. Yeah, we'll definitely have to do this again and maybe stay in closer contact.
Yes.
But yeah, keep up the great work, man. The Paranormies. It's paranormies.com. I'll have links over to the website and your Telegram channel. And also, I know you're on Gab as well. I'm not that active on Gab, but
either. I do every time I get on Gab, I'm like, hey, I'm back. I promise I won't leave again. And like 9 months later, I'm like, hey, I'm back. I promise I won't leave. And I look, I'm like, five times.
You know, Telegram
tweets are the same tweet.
Telegram is just so much better. I think it's almost. I don't really post a whole lot on Telegram. I do have my own channel, but I mostly just follow other people, and it's
like I talk to my. I have friends who I've known for a long time who used to be in inner circles of other things who are now no longer in, or now we're just friends, you know, kind of thing. You know, like we still communicate, and it's kind of it all. It's like XTRS guys and stuff. Like it's like it started off as a therapy group.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, seriously, dude. It's like, well, I mean, yeah. Anyways, well, that's a whole other show. But yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You should come on and talk about whatever. You were always into this kind of stuff. So, and again, you know, your magazine talks about a lot of the stuff we talk about too. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we could definitely set something up like that. That'd be cool.
Absolutely.
All right, okay. Johnny, take care, man. I'll talk to you later. Sure. Okay. All right.